midway through 6 and around verse 11. But I want to let y'all know again, when we get to, think there's going to be a transition when we get to chapter 10 and 10 through 22. It's going to be a lot of little sayings. Okay? So if you can read ahead on that, it's really good. All right? And be thinking about those little couplets and a couple of verses together, and if there's an application in your life and that sort of thing. So it gets more shotgunish from there. Okay, versus the themes we have now, for 10 verses and that sort of thing. Some of it has there's themes through it there. Okay, so be thinking about that. So please read ahead, please, and do your 10 questions. All right, Proverbs chapter 6, 5, 6, and 7. Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, mainly it's about the adulterous woman and the pull and enticements and those things that she would do to divert people's attention from wisdom and cause them to sin, and then the repercussions from that, which is death. So we're now in Proverbs 6, and there's a little interlude here in the middle that I mentioned last time that kind of diverts somewhat away from the adulterous woman, but it deals with some things about laziness and perversion and that sort of thing, and a worthless person. So we had started last time in basic chapter 6 dealing with the ant and the sluggard, and we said that through those verses there, basically through 8, 6 through 8 was the idea that the ant, she's wise, she observes her ways, she has no rulers, she prepares, makes provisions, she does those things being self-directed and helps herself. In other words, she's a wise person who works, a wise ant that works, and they compare that old sluggard. Why don't you look at that? And then the sluggard then in 9 through 11, how long do you lie down, O sluggard, and when will you arise from your sleep? Verse 10, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And the sluggard is just lazy. He wants to just sit and slumber and things be brought to him. And in 11 it says, your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. Now the result of this slumber, the result of the sluggard acting the way he does, your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. That's the result of him having this slumber. And so, what happens? He's going to have poverty. He's going to be overtaken. He's going to say, why am I not progressing in life? Why aren't things happening like people around me? Why don't I have things? You see? And the point is, it's probably coming like a vagabond, like a roaming bandit took it. And your knee like an armed man. These ideas that he's going to be surprised. What happened? Why not me? Okay? And it's interesting. Okay? And there's some lessons in there for us on that. I guess, hey there, got you. Over there.
Do you have the little one?
What little one?
The little Bible?
No, I do not.
So, it's interesting. Jeremy, I don't know if you had a comment there, but this idea of being that, they're surprised being after they've done that. Interesting point. Okay, go ahead.
Now, you're talking about, him asking, why are things like this, stuff like that. Well, it's the immediacy, I think, is the most important thing. Not why am I not progressing, but you wake up one day and it's all gone. How did it get like this? And we've seen recently that's happened to people. I mean, more specifically where I'm living. It's more acute where I live. There are a lot of people who, out of nowhere, found out that they were completely in debt, had not saved up any money, and then they were in big fat trouble when the income slowed down. And so rather than saving things up, rather than thinking ahead, like is written about what the ant does, they did the opposite. They spent more than they had. The income the income changed. They lost jobs. A lot of people lost jobs with all this huge amount of debt over their heads. And it did. It hit them like an arm gain. It was the same as if they had been robbed. They lost cars and houses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because they amounted all this debt. So, I think that this is, I guess, funny in a kind of grotesque way, to read about such an old concept stated so clearly that people still need to go back and reflect on.
Yeah. Of course, this is a result of just laziness, slumber. And we had the first part up there about speculation with money and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. What do you expect if you want riches quick? Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to get something for nothing quick from a stranger. Should you be surprised when you don't get something, you know, something quick from, you know, and things like that happen. But finally, I deal with poverty here and that sort of thing. And it's interesting to know that and be forewarned on this. Now, a little transition in 12, that here we're getting to it. Your version may say scoundrel. A worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a perverse mouth. And we've seen a lot through here, throughout these first chapters, is mouth is involved in a lot of things, isn't it? Okay? To progress perversion, to lead one the wrong way. Even wisdom wants to use words, okay, to persuade, to coax, to motivate one. So a worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a perverse mouth. Mouth that has corruption coming out of it, a mouth with falsities, a mouth with lies, a mouth with innuendo that would corrupt one. Now, 13. Who winks with his eyes, who signals with his feet, who points with his finger, who with perversity of his heart devises evil, who spreads strife. Now, what in the world, if you wink with your eye, you signal with your feet, you point with your finger, okay? That, what's the idea?
You're shady.
he's using all his faculties, isn't he? He's using his eyes and his hands and his feet. All those things are going, help him go down a path to pervert things, to create evil, to devise evil. And it's interesting with that. Now, in other words, there's an evil intent, and he uses the parts he has, all he has, including his speech, okay, to create this evil and sustain this evil. Interesting, isn't it? Okay? And, I think we know winks with our eyes. Some of these other things, I'm not sure. You know, signals with his feet, I'm not sure what that is. Another version of speaks with their feet. Maybe that's what you do with your feet, where you travel, places you're at.
I think a lot of this has to do... A lot of this has to do with saying one thing with your mouth and then meaning a completely different one. I think innuendo is a really good way to say it. The winking with the eye, we understand that one. That's so around in our culture. You know, you say one thing and you kind of wink at somebody else because they caught that you weren't being serious. The pointing with the fingers, I'm sure, shoving with the feet, I think probably fall in line with that. Saying one thing, but...
Again, using all our faculties to sustain this sort of, you know... Okay, 14... Who with perversity or deceit in his heart continually devises evil, who spreads strife. I'm going to do the therefore 15. So this person who has this perverse mouth and wicked and a scoundrel and that sort of thing, and in his heart he continually devises evil, who spreads strife. So it's from his innermost being in it. See? He's from his innermost being. It's not just something quick. It's something that he's thought about, he's worked on. It's something embedded in the person who spreads strife. What's the idea there? That's more than himself, isn't it?
It's caused trouble for others.
Now it's spread out to other people, okay, which it has already somewhat. But what is this spreading strife? Is it hurting people with a club? Can you spread strife other ways?
Just other ways, yeah, huh? With your mouth.
You surely can, can't you? Okay.
And some cultures, they call it being messy. Getting his fingers and mouth and just starting problems and...
Murmuring, backbiting, gossip, bad gossip. Okay?
Is there good gossip?
Yeah, I'll chew that out just a bit, okay? That's right. Discontent. If you ever been... What happens within a congregation Have you seen that in congregation? If you've been around long enough, you have, haven't you? Okay, especially gets to the point of people leaving. Mm-hmm. Okay? I think you had a little split, didn't you, Jerry?
Yeah.
Okay?
And
I don't know if it was a 50-50 or a 30-70, I don't know.
No, but the principle of the people speaking with their with winking about certain things, people, you know, kind of say, well, you know how they are. You know how they are. That kind of thing. Oh yeah, we like them, but you know, like that. There's a lot of ill intent painted with in an innocent way. You know, people undermining the authority of other people, that type of thing. But always with a friendly gesture. And so this is, this, I think, this applies a lot with a constructive intention strikes. Very important.
Right. So in 15, we've got the therefore word, okay, in the New American Standard. It's calamity will come suddenly, instantly. You'll be broken and there will be no healing. So this problem, this result, this conclusion, this thing that happens to him that's not good comes quickly and instantly. Does this person, after he's done this strike, and generally, does it come expected?
Well, how can you lose?
It comes instantly, doesn't it? Quickly, is the general idea. That there's going to be a retribution, whatever it is, and he will be broken and there will be no healing. Now, that's interesting. All right? So we've kind of seen here that there's no healing might be the idea of like a comes quickly. We live on the coast here, or we live in California, Southern California. What kind of disaster can come quickly or slowly to you?
Tsunamis.
Earthquake in California, and what here?
Hurricane.
Which one comes suddenly and instantly?
Earthquake comes a lot more.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Okay.
And tsunamis come after earthquakes sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're very suddenly, they're very unexpected.
That's right. But it's interesting. Okay. I just threw that out there to kind of show something in the natural world, and especially since Jeremy's in California and that sort of thing. We were working. There was a guy who went out there for a conference, and he was outside of the conference hall, you know, walking on the sidewalk, and that's when that big one hit. Mm-hmm. You know, back towards the 80. Okay. Carl Bridges fell and that sort of thing during the baseball game. And he said it was amazing. You know, here from Texas, never seen anything like that. and it basically knocked you to the ground. Everything's moving. It was interesting. Okay, what the voice described. And so we've kind of seen here that the surety, one who has this up here at the top, what's their escape? Way back when we talked about that in the first part. Their escape is what? They're in a contract that they're being under the power of the other person. So the admonition is to get out as quickly as you can, right? So there's a way of escape. This sluggard who can look at his ant, can the sluggard learn from the ant? Yes.
If he wants to.
Yes. But what's interesting on this third part here is that this wicked person... it's saying here that he's going to calamity comes on. There'll be no healing. That there's going to be a ruin with him, and there is no remedy. Interesting, isn't it? Okay, that's pretty definite. And nothing good can come out of that kind of person. All right, interesting. Now, 16 is going to use some body parts here. And it says, set 16, there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. That ought to get your attention. Hates and abomination are strong words, aren't they? We saw abomination before. Okay, in the other chapter. And 6 and 7. 7 is to get your attention. It may be a perfect number, or it may be the idea of completeness. Who knows? But what are these things? He's using body parts here. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shield innocent blood. a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil. Okay? And then a little transition in a false witness, and then spread strife, which we already talked about. Now, since God hates it, it's abomination, what about haughty eyes? Y'all have another version that says another word there?
Proud look.
Proud looks. I looked that up and said vain to the point of arrogance. Okay? You know, I would not uppity look maybe, but there's a look there. Okay? That is not complimentary, I guess. Okay? It shows great arrogance. A lying tongue. God doesn't like liars. Does the fool lie to himself?
That's where it starts.
Does, doesn't he? Okay. And hands that shed innocent blood. We talked about that. That's a pure physical thing. But, and this innocent blood is a significant word there. Hurt the innocent. Hurt the innocent. Now, in war, there's collateral damage. And that happens.
And under the Noahic Covenant, there's a specific command for capital punishment for those who take another life. I mean, so he's delineating, you know, shedding blood in general from something that he specifically means.
Yeah. And a heart that devises wicked plans. We've talked about that. There's a pre-thought involved in that. From the inner part of the person, that divide. God hates that. It's an abomination when one plans that. Feet that run rapidly to evil. Feet that run to evil are rapidly to evil. If God hates that, it's an abomination. Why would you run to evil?
They're attractive, thrill.
Sometimes it's attractive.
It's attractive, isn't it? It's a thrill to it. It's different.
Seductive.
All right? Some people don't like the old rut they've been in. They want something else. Okay? When they get 40 or 50, what was the thing? You know, to get rid of the wife and get them a sport car.
Midlife.
Okay?
Midlife.
Yeah, see? All right?
Isaiah 59:7 just really sums up several of these verses here. It says, their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. They have a purpose. They are driven.
And they're thrilled by that.
Yes.
To see others fall. To see the power they exert on others. Power hurt.
I think power is a big part of it. I think you're absolutely right. Power is a huge part of that.
Yes. And the thing about it, people who exert themselves in a hurtful way, blood, whatever it is, that intimidates people, doesn't it? Intimidates people, doesn't it? And what do a lot most people do? They fold, don't they? Under that kind of pressure. Interesting. Okay? Now, God hates, it's abomination when you have a false witnesses who utters lies. That's kind of interesting, false witness and utters lies. Right? The same thing. Maybe in a court, maybe someone says something else about somebody else to belittle them. God hates that, it's abomination. False witness, okay, who utters lies to do that. And the last we talked about a little while ago, and one who spreads strife. What's the rest of that?
Unbroken.
Interesting, isn't it? Okay.
All of this comes from the heart. Yeah.
Yes.
The heart comes from both of those things.
Yes. Yes.
A perverse heart and a wicked heart.
This person plans, hates God, the Lord. The Lord, he hates it. He plans. Hurts others, lies, loves evil, hurts others. So that's the person we don't want to be. All right? Do we recognize that in ourselves? Or someone else has to tell us?
It depends.
That's right. How kind of conscious have we got to that point in time? Who are we around?
Well, you talk a lot to yourself. I mean, you lie to yourself long enough.
Yeah.
There's a lot you can believe after a while if you tell yourself long enough.
Do you know if you're not telling all the truth to someone?
Yeah.
If you're holding back some?
You should.
You do. Well, you do.
But there are some people who do it so long, they can't tell when they're not telling the truth and when they are. It's just become... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If their lips are moving, they're lying.
So that's really the end of that section now, that section in there between all this adultery here. When you think of the application of that, there's a lot of this that adulterers do, adulteresses do, and ones who come with the adulteresses do in there and here, these abominations. Okay. Now, we're transitioning back on verse 20 now, back to our point about the origin of these goodness, okay, and wisdom, and then we'll go back to the adulteress again to finish it out. Well, verse 20.
Before we move on,
yes, go around.
16 through 19, you think he's trying to portray just everything about them? Their eyes, their tongue, their hands, their heart, their feet, just...
I agree with all of that, except when we deal with innocent blood. I don't know if I've seen anything yet that deals with the fool, okay, and then the perverse, wicked person does those sort of things, sheds innocent blood. But I don't know if I've seen the idea of adulteress yet. No doing that? Just a thought. I just right in my head as you've asked that question. But it's certainly... Well, that's interesting you say that. It's because... When we get to the end of this next section, in the 34-35, we've got the husband here of the one whose wife has been running around, okay, who's going to take vengeance in their own way, in their own manner. Okay? I don't know if you had that in mind or
well,
not,
David,
but that's interesting.
When he was committing adultery, his hand shed innocent blood.
Mm-hmm. But it's...
Would that not be the same thing?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you can say it's necessarily it goes without saying. Now there's a lot of proverbs that are not across the board. A lot of them are maxims, so that they apply to most of the time without being necessarily all the time. But
I'm not saying this is all the time. I'm saying because you had made the comment that you had not seen...
The adulteress shedding innocent blood. We
right.
saw in the first chapter where those gangs entice you with that.
It has happened because of situations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It does happen.
Yeah, this may
just not necessarily in every situation.
Right. And I can't say that if you have to have every one of these traits for the Lord to hate you and you'd be an abomination to Him either. Okay, I think you can view each one individually. All right. But this is certainly a good interlude here to remind the reader of where the Lord stands, isn't it? Okay? And, among the community, brothers, okay, and with yourself and others. Now, okay, 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Commandment, teaching, parallel, observe and do not forsake are the same. Back to the parent, which you've seen before. And 21, bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. I think we saw earlier that when you put these wreaths and ornaments around your neck, say a wisdom, then when you bind them and tie them around your neck, it's a place of honor. And bind and continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. Is the idea to keep them close, isn't it? Okay? All right. 22, when you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. When you walk is in the daytime. When you sleep is at night. When you wake, you'll talk to them. They'll give instruction to you. So I guess you'd say it's 24 hours a day, isn't it? Okay. And that's how useful the commandments of the Father and the teaching of the Mother, the wisdom is. It's not a part of the day sort of thing. That this instruction is yours all the time. All right. 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. What's lamp and light? What's that? What's that show?
Helps you see your way.
You'll see the word path a lot, okay, in Proverbs. And you're on a path, aren't you? We want to be on a straight path, don't we? See? And this, the wisdom there is to help you stay on it. Light and lamp. And what about this reproof for discipline or the way of life? Is that your way of life? Is the wise person is a way of life? What do they do when correction comes? When they hear someone or they read something in here that's going to change their life.
They change course.
Yeah. All right. To stay on the path of life.
Okay. One of the funny things about this, he talks about these instructions of the mother and father. And he uses language that is so much like the Deuteronomy and Exodus passages talking about the parents teaching or having the law bound like the phylacteries on the forehead and all hands, you know. And so the Lord's law was talked about in language very similar to this. Also, he talked to parents. He told these parents to teach their children. He says, when you rise up, when you lay down,
when you go to the field, wherever you're at, yeah,
whatever you're doing, you make sure that you discuss these things. And I think that the reason this language fits so strongly with that is it's still the same idea. Now, I don't know many people who could say their parents never taught them useful things as far as things handed down. Now, I've heard some bad advice come from parents. But it's no joke that the things that your parents give you as far as advice are going to go with you a long way. The safeguards that God built into His law when He was ruling a people to make sure that when the parents did give advice to the children, it was proper advice and it stood up to this test.
And the advice should be shown by action.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if that action is hypocritical, what happens then to the teaching? It has a rough road, doesn't it? It has a rough road. So a parent needs to always remember what lessons they've taught. All right? Hopefully, got into the permanent memory. All right. So, 24. And now, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. We've talked that before. A woman is an adulteress, evil woman. The smooth tongue. We talked about that before. We talked about oil and things like that. And so this is kind of going to be the theme now, this last section. Do not, 25. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her capture you with her eyelids. Desire of beauty in your heart.
Fear like what Jesus said in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount. We talked about adultery starting in the heart.
Yeah, so if it's in your heart to desire her, then you're a long way down the road, aren't you? See, it's not just a passing commercial on the TV. See, so you're seeking. You're seeking now to fulfill that desire. You don't want to do that. The heart is a motivator. Or let her capture you with her eyelids. What's an eyelid? What does that signify? Appearance? See?
It's an excellent use of metonymy.
I was thinking about that too. You know, in these days, or you can see now on TV in the Middle East, what do you see of a woman?
No, these
you see the eyes, don't you?
That's
kind of a veil.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? So there would be a natural, if I'm going to get someone's attention or tell them who I am, it's either by my outward gown or my eyes. Interesting, isn't it? Okay? You see a lot of that? The veils are kind of...
I didn't see it much at all.
Yeah, that's a little secondary.
They're always inside.
Yeah, they are. They never come out, do they? It's always the guys, isn't it?
And if there is, they're definitely accompanied by a guy. I might have saw maybe two the whole time.
Yeah. Interesting.
But each time you went?
Yeah, the women, if you notice on TV, whether it's riots over there or whatever it is, it's always the guys out in the streets. All right? But even shopping, I guess they go shopping. I guess they, I don't know how that works.
I think the men do the shopping.
Yeah.
They do the shopping. The only time I saw him was in the C-mock in this one.
And I think the basic idea is that you don't want men seeing women because it's in any dress or anything, because it can cause him to sin.
Right.
Okay, or lust or desire, that sort of thing, right? Okay.
I think it's interesting on this one is that he doesn't talk to someone who is never going to see the woman. He talks to someone who is going to interact with people. He's going to interact with a woman, and he's going to interact or come across this type of woman. But the command is given to the young man to make sure that he guards his paths.
To keep his feet far from her door.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But the understanding is that door is still accessible. I mean, which I think is very...
We always need to be on guard.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the thing that I think is so important. He's not saying it's the other... He's not talking to someone who's never going to experience that thing. You know, the person he's talking to doesn't live in a bubble. They live, you know, this is around.
Well, you know where you're at. I mean, outside the base in California, you know, a few streets off the base, there's ladies roaming the streets. Okay. Just like it wasn't clean in other places. Okay. So you know where you're at. Okay, 26.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
And I'm not even sure how to ask this. Is there any connection between 16 through 19, all these body parts, the tongue, the heart, feet, eyes, and then now we've got the flattering tongue of the seductress, to lust after in your heart, don't let her allure you with her eyes, can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scarred?
Is there a connection?
What,
the connection
is that one, like
these
a springboard to the other?
Well, these are avenues for one to approach the heart of another,
mm-hmm.
whether it's mouth or the outward appearance or speech.
So 16
okay.
through 19 could be applied to any other situation, not
yes,
just adultery.
Yes, right. That was
an
interlude in there.
Okay.
And
that's why
that
it's there. I couldn't figure out why it was there, but that's why it's there.
When we get when you get to 10 on, there's going to be a lot of things that aren't going to fit. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And you'll see things that will be repeated.
No, they got to fit. We can't leave to where they don't fit.
Yeah.
It bothers me.
But it fits as far as our walk with God to stay on the path of life.
Yeah.
All right. And all right. Where am I at?
I'm sorry.
26.
Yeah, 26. Now we're talking about this adulteress. For an account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread. An adulteress hunts for the precious life. It's interesting. For an account of harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread.
Well, that's how you make their
money. Yes, but the price of this prostitute is so low compared to the price of adultery.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a range scale sort of thing here. Can you imagine... I don't know if you know, a Tiger Woods was paying, what, $40,000, you know, a night, okay?
What's he paying now?
Well, this week he was in Florida with his first mistress. Okay, he was at a party. Anyway, that was going to be today. All right? That was this week. All right? So he's not worried about that. He's only 34. Birthday's today. 34, I think. All right? But the point is, here we are, this amount of money, and most prostitutes will go for 25, 50, whatever it is. Well, what's a loaf of bread? $1.50? Okay? So you think, this account of the harlot, you're reduced to a loaf of bread. That's the price of it. Okay? And so adultery is much higher than that. See? Interesting. Okay? And adulteress hunts for the precious life. It's that light comes up over and over. She hunts, she prays for the precious life. She wants to reduce you down. She wants to bring you to her level. And praise is the idea of an animal, isn't it? Okay? Mm-hmm. 27. Can a man take questions? Can a man take fire in his bosom or his lap, you know, hold it next to him, and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So if you come into this harlot, this adulteress, and you're there, what can you expect out of it?
You can expect to get
some pain.
Coming out of it unscathed.
But there's going to be a result, isn't there? It's not going to be, I'm going to have one night stand, I'll be over.
There's going to be some long-lasting scars.
That's right. That's right.
And it's not just physical ramifications. You said an awful. It's not just the physical ramifications. I mean, there is a lot of emotional pain. Even to the most callous person, they would want to pretend like there's no emotional hurt that goes on, and there's tons of it.
When you touch another's wife, you're going to understand that there's going to be price to pay. Somewhere. And it wasn't that you had a stomachache. We're talking something severe, aren't we? But it's down the road. It's there. So that's just something to be pre-warned about. It's going to happen. If you've known people who've been in this situation, adultery in their families, when there's adultery in the family, it affects all the way, doesn't it? Okay? The individual, you should never get over it.
In the case of David, he paid for it his whole life. Mm-hmm. That's
a good point.
Yeah.
And sometimes that happens.
What did Nathan say? The sword would never leave his house?
29.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Generations.
Yes. 29. So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife, whoever touches her will not go unpunished. That's what we just talked in. That's what we just said. There's going to be a punishment. The community is going to be a punishment. There's going to be a family. There's going to be. You don't get away from it. Okay? It's going to happen. So, when you're walking down the street, there's adulterers or whatever. Okay? Do you go in? Does a young person think about, I've got to read over in Proverbs. All right? It's going to be. Now, am I ready to take those consequences? See, it's something to contemplate. And actually, you're going to get your parents' will, too, when you do that. Not to mention L-O-R-D. It's interesting, isn't it? Okay? All right. Celibate till you're married. You know, a lot of things like that. Keep all that in mind. Catch that? All right. 30. Men, do not despise a thief if he steals, to satisfy himself when he is hungry. But when he is found, he must repay sevenfold. He must give all the substance of his house. You can look at that different ways. But the point is, even if you steal, there's going to be a price to pay in there. All right? In the Jewish law, even when you stole from another, it was 2 to 5 times whatever it was, what you had to do. And if you couldn't pay that, you were stoned. So 7 times is more severe than that. The point is, though, not to say that it's okay to steal when you're hungry, is to say that there is going to be a price to pay. And there's no excuses. You get all the excuses you want. There's still going to be a price to pay. He must give all the substance of his house. That may be what it takes. Okay. So I think that's why that part is in there. Let's see.
Also, because it says a lot about attention. You might have just been like, I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to take this, but that doesn't matter. He still stole. So regardless of the intention, the sin was still committed.
That's correct. That's correct. So there is no justifiable sin, I guess you'd say. All right, there's always going to be a ruling on it at the end of the day. It says he is hungry. He didn't steal for his family, did he? Or for his brothers, did he? He did it for himself. Interesting. All right, 32. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. That sounds like a fool.
Sounds like a mouthful.
A fool, fool. All right. He who would destroy himself does it. Yep. 33. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. What's the disgrace from? Himself? Does he care? That's from outside, isn't it? When others look at him, isn't it? See, there's a disgrace. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach, his shame will not be blotted out.
Yeah. I think that You mentioned Tiger a few times. We're never going to forget that. I hate to say that. He won't be talked about as being a golf legend, I don't think. I think he'll be talked about the golf legend cheating on his wife. And it was all over the news. Because none of his golf accomplishments, none of the things that he's done thus far, have garnered the attention of people like this affair has. And so I think that when it talks about the reproach won't be wiped away, I think there's a societal impact that just doesn't disappear.
Well, look at O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
What sport did he play? You remember, all I know is he was accused of killing his wife and having a video chase from the cops.
And he got away with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, if he doesn't pitch, he must have quit. All right?
But, can't remember what sport he played. Well, look at David. When you ask anybody about David, what do they tell you?
That's a good point.
That's a very good point. That's a good thing.
But it also showed in the life of David, you can still come back from it, too. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, so,
although he.
Okay. Well, you can take Simon in the Book of Acts. Nobody calls him anything but Simon the Sorcerer. he formerly had been a sorcerer. But that's what people call him. He's still Simon the Sorcerer in their eyes. Or in ours, and just what we talk about.
Right. Okay, real quick, let me get through 34 and 35 here. For jealousy enrages a man, that's the husband, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance toward the young man who is with his wife. He will not accept any ransom or bribe. Nor will he be satisfied though you give him many gifts or bribes. All right? So here's this husband. His wife's still out there. She's getting the young man. What's he doing? He's gonna take retribution on that man. All right? And I'm not going to be bribed. I'm not going to be influenced. I'm going to take it. So that's that idea of innocent blood or blood a while ago. I don't think there's not no innocent party here. Okay? But he's not taking out a woman. He's taking out an interesting in it. Okay? So is there justification for him to take vengeance?
No, it just means I'm going to do it, though.
That means, in a sense, the outcome of this situation is going to be that husband is going to take his rage and anger out, and he don't care how much money you pay him, he's going to take it out on the one who is with his wife.
Okay. Or his
so,
wife.
Yes, for a young man then, what do you think about?
Stay away from all
you may
that.
Have some social problems, you may have some other problems too, right? All right. So you need to consider the painful cost there too, don't you? Okay? Your parents hate you, but the man catches up with you. That's bad news, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So, we'll start with Prop 7 last time. Please read ahead, 10 on. Please start reading that, doing the question.